to the fifth case of the morning, U.S. versus Sykes.
Please the court. Good morning. Marcus Sykes pled guilty to being a felon in possession of a firearm and was sentenced to 188 months of imprisonment pursuant to the enhanced penalty provisions of the Armed Career Criminal Act. The sole issue that we've brought in this appeal is whether his prior conviction for resisting law enforcement by fleeing in a vehicle, which is a Class D felony under Indiana law, constitutes a violent felony as defined under the Armed Career Criminal Act. I recognize that we are bucking existing circuit precedent here. This court decided this.
Go ahead. You're capable.
This court decided this specific issue in United States versus Spells, but it's apparent that the issue continues to be one that reasonable people can disagree on. In fact, reasonable circuit judges can disagree on. And we are asking this court to revisit the issue in light of the Supreme Court's more recent pronouncement in United States versus Chambers and the 11th Circuit's decision in United States versus Harrison and most recently the 8th Circuit's decision in United States versus Tyler.
Do I have the facts wrong? I thought he fled on foot rather than in a vehicle.
No, the issue here is whether fleeing in a vehicle as a Class D felony constitutes a violent felony. There's two ways that fleeing under Indiana law can be charged as a D felony. Anyone who flees a policeman after the policeman has given visible or audible signs is guilty of a misdemeanor. However, if the person uses a vehicle, it's a D felony. And there's another subsection that provides if the person operates a vehicle in a manner that creates a substantial risk of harm or injury, that's a D felony also.
Well,
now, the issue here...
Just so I get this straight, on page 2 of your brief, and maybe I don't know if I'm reading it correctly, while talking to the police who responded to the scene, the victim observed defendant walking across the street. As officers approached defendant turned, threw a black revolver on the ground, and began walking away. Police ordered the defendant to stop, after which defendant continued to walk a short distance and laid down on the ground, at which point he was taken into custody.
Your Honor is referring to the facts underlying the instant offense of conviction. Those are the events that preceded his arrest and ultimately his plea of guilty to being a felon in possession of a firearm. What I'm talking about is his prior conviction for D-felony fleeing in a vehicle.
The only thing you're worried about is the sentencing provision.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
The only thing you're worried about is the sentencing.
That's correct. If his prior felony does not constitute a predicate under the Armed Career Criminal Act, then he's subject to a statutory maximum of 120 months. This case, under the ACCA, of course, is 15 to life, and that's what you got. At the heart of the Spells decision, I think, is this court's conclusion that flight in a vehicle invariably presents a serious potential risk of injury. The court noted the heightened risks to pedestrians or anyone else that would get in the way of the driver, which is similar to the risk of confrontation or the heightened risk of confrontation in escape cases. And so part of the reasoning, I sense, in reading Spells is that because all escapes are violent felonies, all flights in vehicles to avoid arrest are likewise violent felonies. And that's really where the 11th Circuit and the 8th Circuit took a different path, having the benefit of the Supreme Court's more recent pronouncements in United States versus Chambers. In Chambers, the Supreme Court rejected the notion that all escapes are created equal. They were dealing in that situation with an escape that was comprised of really nothing more than failure to report to serve a sentence. They recognize
that goes against the, what we had was a categorical approach. In other words, take the statute, say it's violated, and that's it. Don't look behind it.
Correct. Correct. And that's what the 11th Circuit did here. It started out by following that Supreme Court recognition that you've got to distinguish between offenses that are contained in a single statute, and rejected the notion that all willful fleeing in a vehicle offenses are to be treated equally, especially where the statute, like the Indiana statute, differentiates between the types of willful fleeing, that is, taking off in a vehicle or taking off in a vehicle at a high speed or high speed with reckless driving and creating a substantial
risk.
Or
just walking away from the police officer, that's another problem, right?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Or just walking away from the police officer, that's a misdemeanor.
That is correct. That would be the misdemeanor.
So hasn't the Indiana legislature made some choices here already? You can walk away, that's a misdemeanor. You can get away in a vehicle, that's a Class D felony. Or you can get away in a vehicle at a very high speed, and that's more serious, am I right?
Actually, no. Walking away, again, is a misdemeanor.
No.
Refusing to stop while you're driving a vehicle is a D felony.
Mm-hmm.
And refusing to stop and engaging in conduct that creates a substantial risk of injury is also a D felony. And see, the 11th Circuit recognized that as well, is that you've got a statute here that has two subsections, and you need to differentiate between the two in the sense that...
The Illinois statute does not, does it?
I'm sorry?
The Illinois statute does not.
The Indiana statute does.
Right. Illinois does not.
I don't know the Illinois statute. But what the court did is they looked at what is the behavior here that typically underlies this offense. Well, if you look at the elements, there's only two things. A policeman signals someone to stop, and the motorist refuses to do so. That's it. Neither high speed nor reckless driving is an element or a component of the offense, nor is operating a vehicle in a manner that creates a substantial risk of injury an element of that offense. That's a different subsection. Simply refusing to stop.
Does that different subsection have a higher penalty attached to it?
No, it does not. They're both Class D felonies. They're both Class D felonies. So it's the same. It's the same penalty. But simply refusing to stop without more does not create that risk that's sufficient to bring it within the definition, despite the increased likelihood that there's going to be a confrontation between the police and the driver. Now, Harrison then goes on from there and says, hey, even if this conduct does create a substantial risk, the crime as typically committed here is not sufficiently aggressive or violent enough to be similar to the enumerated crimes in the Armed Career Criminal Act, which is a requirement under the Supreme Court's pronouncements in Begay. They said, it's purposeful, clearly. I mean, it does require that the motorist act knowingly or intentionally. But it also has to be aggressive. It also has to be violent. This court in Spells suggested that, well, it's inherently aggressive. It's inherently violent. And the 11th Circuit and the 8th Circuit simply came to the other conclusion. It said, when you take a look at what is required to commit this offense, this doesn't seem to that court to be indicative of a person who's likely later to point a gun and pull the trigger. So in light of the Chambers decision of the Supreme Court and the positions now staked out in the 11th Circuit and the 8th Circuit, we'd respectfully urge the court to revisit Spells and reverse the judgment connection with Mr. Sykes. Thank you.
May it please the court, good morning. I'm Mr. McKinley. My name is Matthew Rinka, appearing on behalf of the United States. This morning, the court is faced, in the government's view, with an issue that has already been decided. The issue presented by Mr. Sykes' appeal is squarely within the decision of this court in United States versus Spells. In that case, the court decided that the Indiana statute resisting law enforcement, specifically the two subsections concerning fleeing, which were Class D felonies, were both crimes of violence. In fact, in the Spells case, the court, in working its way through the analysis from Begay, indicated that the only way that divisibility of the statute became an issue is if either of those two subsections was not a crime of violence. At the end of the day, the court concluded that both, in fact, were crimes of violence and moved on in its analysis to determine whether or not what is encapsulated in the ordinary case in a fleeing from law enforcement is sufficiently violent and aggressive that it meets the Supreme Court standard for being considered a crime of violence.
Mr. Rinkett, can you help me along those lines? I have the Begay case in front of me here. Justice Breyer has this sentence in here about possessing a gun. I don't understand it. Can you help me?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I'm not familiar.
It says, as suggested by its title, the Armed Career Criminal Act focuses upon the special danger created when a particular type of offender, a violent criminal or drug trafficker, possesses a gun. He goes on and says, in order to determine which offenders fall into this category, the Act looks to the past crimes. This is because an offender's criminal history is relevant to the question whether he is a career criminal, or more precisely, to the kind and degree of danger the offender would pose were he to possess a gun. And I'm having a hard time thinking of the Indiana statute, somebody simply not obeying the police officer's signal to pull over, as saying, and dealing with this language. Is this, what's he trying to tell me here? I mean, this could be a little old lady driving down the road, and she says, oh, that's so-and-so's little boy. He's not going to bother me. I'm just going to keep on going. And she drives along. She's not probably the kind of person who's going to resort to a gun, if that's what Justice Breyer means here. And this just seems to me to be this is a difficulty for me in trying to figure out what falls under the stack. Can you help me out?
I appreciate the court's question. I think that it's a difficult issue for me, anyway, to parse through. In the government's view, what Justice Breyer is addressing there is, for lack of a better word, propensity, and the sense that, are these the kinds of crimes that are engaged in typically by people who arm themselves and are more likely to pull the trigger to injure someone with a firearm? And in fact, in the government's view, and I believe this is borne out by this court's own empirical data that was contained in Spells and that contained in other similar cases from other circuits, the fact of the matter is, in the ordinary case, Your Honor, in the ordinary case that we have and that we see someone fleeing from a law enforcement officer, it is not the hard of hearing old lady who doesn't see the police so hard. It is a violent criminal who is fleeing from the police to destroy evidence and get away.
Or can we take into consideration the kind of reaction that the conduct might elicit in others? In other words, you don't stop for the police officer. Police officers are going to do something about that. By analogy, if you want, to the person who enters a home in either a burglary or an unlawful entry situation, perhaps not terribly violently, but when he gets inside, may indeed, he's going to elicit a confrontation.
Well, in this, Your Honor, this is, I think, exactly the reason that this court decided Spells the way it did, because we have a situation where the conduct, for example, of the burglary, the person, the breaking and entering with the intent to commit a crime therein, if you look at the case law, the suggestion is that really the potential for serious violence and serious injury to occur to another person is really in the potential that you're going to encounter the homeowner or the maid or somebody like that, and then serious violence is going to ensue. In this particular case, the government would suggest, Your Honor, that as one flees and makes that conscious, willful, intentional decision to flee, they're also signaling to the greater public that I'm not going to stop for that police officer, I'm not going to stop for the little old lady or the child in the crosswalk, I'm not going to stop for the stop sign, I'm not going to do any of this. He's willfully disobeying a police car behind him. So the suggestion for the government is, or the suggestion the government would make, is that this signals a type of behavior that is aggressive, that is violent, that disregards lawful authority, and that is essentially a get-out-of-jail-at-all-costs type mentality.
Is a categorical approach, I mean, that's really what this is, designed to avoid sort of not many trials, but bring up proof with regard to facts underlying the offense?
That is my understanding, Your Honor, of the purpose of the categorical approach. It is simply that. It is to, in cases of divisible statutes, to allow us to look to the charging documents, perhaps the plea colloquy, to determine whether or not intent elements were summarized or narrowed, but never to look to the facts because, Your Honor, it's simply that, to avoid many trials. But the government would point out in distinguishing the Indiana statute, it is interesting, the government believes, that in this particular case, what Indiana has essentially done, the legislature has essentially chosen to do, is equate fleeing in a vehicle of any kind to drawing a weapon on a police officer, to, in a flight on foot, kicking a police officer off a fire escape or something of that nature to get away. These are very serious crimes, but they are equal under the law in Indiana. And I think that signals a very clear intent by the legislature that they believe that this fleeing in an automobile is very significant, very violent, very dangerous conduct. It is equal to pulling a weapon on a police officer. And in the government's view, the citation to the Tyler case out of the Eighth Circuit in Minnesota is distinguishable because in that particular case, the Minnesota legislature undertook to actually define what fleeing meant. And just that one particular issue, in the government's view, is significant because in the fleeing definition, there are additional ways in which the crime could be committed. As the Eighth Circuit pointed out, theoretically, in the hypothetical, someone could commit that crime simply by, you know, pulling around a corner and turning off their lights to try to escape the police. That case is distinguishable, and the Eighth Circuit actually signaled that and recognized that in citing to the West case and the Harriman case, particularly out of the Fifth Circuit, which is more recent. And in both of those cases, in both Utah and Texas respectively, those state legislatures did not undertake to define what fleeing meant. Neither has the state of Indiana. We have a situation where the state of Indiana has simply said fleeing a police officer is dangerous conduct. It is equivalent to drawing a weapon on him if you're on foot. It's a defelon. And so the government would urge this court to reaffirm, if you will, Spells, and signal that fleeing law enforcement, regardless, as a defelony, regardless of what subsection you fall under, is indeed a crime of violence. And again, I would just point out that, unlike in Harrison, in Spells, this court actually cited empirical data, which the Harrison court suggests they wish they would have had, but they didn't. This court cited the empirical data to support their ruling. In Spells, other courts, including Harriman, which Tyler referred to, talks about an increased probability that someone is going to get injured in fleeing law enforcement type situations than even in an arson. So in the government's view, with respect to whether or not this particular crime is sufficiently similar to the enumerated crimes, it is. Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel.
How much time? 1.5 minutes, Mr. Kennedy.
Your Honor, when Congress passed the Armed Career Criminal Act, they were envisioning enhanced penalties for people who were convicted of certain types of crimes. And when you mentioned Judge Breyer's passage, I think that's what he's talking about, is that the ultimate question is that the kind of a prior offense that's indicative of someone who's more likely to pull a gun in the future and pull the trigger? Now, government suggests that the way this crime is typically committed is indicative of that kind of a mental state, that it's violent. You know, he's suggesting that the typical case here involves high-speed chase, running a stop sign, disregarding the pedestrian in the crosswalk. That's not accurate. That's the other statute. That's the other component of the Indiana statute where the driver creates the substantial risk. The typical case here is, you know, I'm driving along, my wife's 9 months pregnant, she's 10 centimeters dilated, the cop pulls up, hits the lights, I'm not stopping for the policeman. Or the more typical situation, I'm driving along knowing I don't have a driver's license, I don't, you know, maybe I've got a warrant for my arrest or I've got contraband in the car, I don't want the police to find. He hits the lights, I decline to stop, I fail to stop because I want to sit there and weigh my options. I've committed the crime, but without further aggravating the situation by engaging in high-speed chase or engaging in reckless conduct that creates a substantial risk, I am not committing a crime that's indicative of the future propensity to draw and fire a gun.
You don't have a problem with a categorical approach, I take it. It's just that we should recognize there are two different crimes here.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
The felony part and the misdemeanor part.
Well, again, there's two ways to commit that felony. Either through using a vehicle while fleeing or operating the vehicle in a manner that creates a substantial risk. Now, the latter part, there's no question, that's a crime of violence. I mean, we've conceded that. But the statute that merely proscribes and makes it a D felony to use a vehicle in refusing to stop from police and fleeing from police, that's what we maintain is categorically not a crime of violence because it does not create the substantial risk, nor does it is it sufficiently aggressive or violent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Case will be taken under advisement, and we move.